Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Anne Rung, Administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy within OMB. So, Anne, you know, you mentioned earlier procurement acquisition, and we're throwing around this term, and a lot of folks know maybe the other critical mission support functions of government agencies, such as finance, HR, procurement. So what is federal procurement or federal acquisition? And maybe you can give us a high-level overview of it.
Sure. It starts with an agency identifying a need to buy something, a good or service, in order to deliver on its mission. So that's the very earliest phase of an acquisition. And it goes through various stages from there of, you know, identifying the need, defining the need, asking the market to provide you with that good or service, awarding the contract, and then managing that contract. So that's at a very high level, the process. It is not grants. In my world, it is just contracts for goods and services across the government. And as I said, it is about $440 billion a year.
So whenever you talk, or I have a lot of folks on the show, and we discuss procurement or acquisition within the federal context, and I ask them, how would you describe it? They use one word, complex. What are the reasons for why it's so complex?
It's a great question. When I started this job, I began by meeting with my colleagues in the agencies and industry stakeholders and others about, you know, their thoughts on this marketplace. Reinforcing what you said, everyone talks about the complexity of the space. And I think it is in part because we have 3,200 procurement units around the globe without a lot of collaboration and sharing of information. So it's very siloed. And so going back to the mission of one of the missions of my office to help provide greater standardization and consistency across government, that mission is so relevant today because we are all operating in silos. And so every agency has a slightly different approach, a slightly different set of requirements for industry, processes that are slightly different. And I think, you know, I have tried to move the government towards greater collaboration and sharing through category management, for example, to try to break down some of those silos. I mean, the overwhelming feedback from industry and other stakeholders is that, you know, our solicitations, when we describe to the market what it is we want to buy, are too long and lengthy and complicated and too government specific. They talk about the complexity that comes from having several thousand contracts across government. One company in particular has over 2,300 contracts across government for very similar services. For PCs, we know we have 10,000 contracts and orders against those contracts for very similar PCs. That's the complexity people are talking about. And so that's why when I was confirmed in September of 2014, 2 months later, I put out a sort of a series of actions, a directive to the agencies about simplifying this space. And it was built around three areas: category management, driving innovation, and building better vendor relationships, all with the goal of simplifying this space.
So you kind of hinted at it, but, you know, what are some of the core challenges facing federal acquisition at a high level?
So I talked a little bit about that in terms of keeping pace with technology and just the sheer size of it and sort of the risk-averse culture. I think when I tackle each of these areas, category management and innovation and vendor relationship, they all bring their own unique set of challenges. In the category management space, this is a technique that is used by the private sector and the UK government, and it's quite simply a sort of a framework by which you manage all your areas of spend by common categories rather than individual procurement units across government. So it's all about collaboration and sharing and managing these in a more structured way. And so we launched category management last year. And we have taken a series of actions to really move that forward, which I'm happy to go into.
Stepping back and going straight into it, what is category management?
Sure.
and how does it work?
Sure. Have you read Marie Kondo's book? She's the Japanese organizational consultant. So she's, you know, for our listeners, she has a New York Times bestseller, and her YouTube videos have gone viral. And she talks about how to organize your house.
Yep.
And she says, rather than organizing by room, organize by category. So she says, think about clothes, for example. Instead of organizing just by your bedroom, think about go to every room of your house and start pulling out all the clothes. And you'll find you have clothes in every room. And then you throw them on the bed, and then you're probably horrified by what you bought and how much you actually don't wear and how many designer goods you have that you didn't need and how much money you spent. And then she says, pick up the item and ask, does this bring me joy, as to whether you're going to keep it or leave it. So category management is a similar process up into the question of does it bring me joy. But it's the similar idea of rather than organizing and tackling by procurement unit, we want to think of these goods and services by category. And so we have hired what we call category CEOs, who are experts in that category, to really think about how to organize that category better and drive savings and better performance. And the equivalent of throwing all your clothes on the bed is probably the data analytics piece, where the category CEO begins with really having a better understanding of what it is we're buying and how we're buying and how we're managing those goods. That's the equivalent of throwing all your clothes on the bed. And again, we will find that we bought things that we didn't need. We'll find that we bought high-end when we didn't need high-end. We'll find out that things we haven't worn things in years, we haven't used things in years. And that, to me, is a very sort of similar analogy to Marie Kondo's organizing your house.
Very practical. So, you know, as a follow-up, what are the goals in pursuing category management in the federal space as opposed to the home, you know? And more importantly, what are some of the benefits realized, some of the implementation challenges, and how are you judging its success? What's the definition of success in this area?
Lots of great questions. We have a very clear set of outcomes around category management. We want to first drive savings. So we've set a goal to achieve $5.8 billion in savings in the IT space by the end of this calendar year. Now, that will include other IT reform efforts we're taking across government, including data center consolidation. So category management is just a piece of those savings numbers. But certainly savings is a big piece of this, right? We know we can be more efficient. We want to reduce contracts. So we've set a goal to reduce duplication. So in the area of PCs, for example, we know we don't need 10,000 contracts and orders against those contracts. So we issued a directive to government saying, use the existing 3 contracts. So we have a very clear deliverable there to move a big portion of the government to those 3 contracts. Another outcome that we're driving towards is just bringing more spend under management. And it's not that complicated of an idea. It's just the idea that we want to make sure that all these categories have a CEO leading the category, that we have good data analytics and good metrics, and we're really managing these by categories. And then last but not least, we want to make sure we hit our socioeconomic goals in every category. So we want to hit our small business goals. I think, you know, we are doing this across a really big space, and so we understand this is a multi-year effort. But what's really neat is that I think in just a year, we've seen significant shift. I mean, one, every major federal acquisition conference has a track on category management now. I've seen companies hire category management consultants. I've seen data analytics companies organizing around these categories. So that's incredibly rewarding to see, like, we are shifting the ground here and moving towards category management. We've taken 25 actions in the last year. But to give you a couple highlights, sure. I mentioned we announced senior government executives to manage each of these categories. So they're hard at work in putting together their strategic plans for their category. We have taken actions against $10 billion in IT commodity spend for PCs, mobile, and software. So we're in the process of releasing or have released a series of policies and actions around that space. And I've released these memos in partnership with the federal CIO. I just demoted him, the federal CIO, Tony Scott. And so he and I have put out a directive for PCs, as I mentioned, and it says to the agencies, no new contracts in this space. Use the existing three contracts. Move to more standard refresh cycles. Use these standard configurations. We're going to take similar actions with software and mobile devices as well, and those will be coming out in the near future.
And I had a question that I'm was remiss in not mentioning category management. Where's its roots? Is it a private sector concept that has
Yes, it's been used in the private sector, and it's been used extensively in the retail industry. So if you think about it, we met with a former executive from Macy's, and you think about these the retail space, you know, they're organized around furniture and, clothing, women's clothing, men's clothing, and they have buying teams around each of these areas. And these teams know the supply chain. They know the emerging companies. They know their customers. They know the pricing. They know the companies on the horizon. That's the same idea that we want to implement in the federal space. The UK government picked up on this about 5 or 6 years ago and has been launching it across their space as well. And because they're 5 years into it, we've learned a lot from them and really valued their input on this journey. We've also set up a quarterly summit. We're calling it a category management summit, where we bring in companies and learn best practices from them around category management. And we bring in our category managers to meet with them and share best practices. Our last summit, we brought in Johnson & Johnson, which is at least 5 years into category management. And the most striking thing is that we share very similar experiences. And so, sure, they're the private sector, and they may have some advantages that we necessarily don't have. But at the same time, they have the same challenges in many ways. You know, a lot of these companies started out just as fragmented. They, too, have problems or challenges with getting people to use existing mandatory. It's a change management issue. I will say one of the real highlights is that we have identified that we've saved $2 billion from category management efforts. And that includes, in part, strategic sourcing efforts, which is a sort of component of category management.
Actually, that's a great transition. Yeah. What is strategic sourcing? How does it increase savings and realize efficiency in federal acquisition?
Yeah, so strategic sourcing is a procurement process led by a procurement executive. It's usually 6 or 7 steps, and it begins with a commodity profile or figuring out, what are the opportunities in this particular commodity. And then it ends with a preferred supplier contract. And you usually have lower unit pricing as a result. And you get that by aggregating demand and maximizing the supplier base, or said another way, it's called buying in bulk, right? So, have everybody sort of buy together instead of individually, and you drive that price down. Strategic sourcing is one strategy that you can implement under category management, but category management is a much broader framework. It's much longer term. It thinks about things years out. It thinks about the entire supply chain from beginning to end. And you can implement a number of strategies, of which strategic sourcing could be one. The person running the categories does not have to be a procurement executive. So our IT category, for example, was recruited from industry, IT industry. That's his background, not necessarily in procurement. Our transportation lead is a transportation policy expert. And the point here is that these are business leaders. They're CEOs. And they're not just thinking about the procurement needs of that category. They're thinking about the business needs of government. And it's a much sort of broader framework under which we can pull a lot of different triggers to increase performance and save money.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the IT laptops and things that you're doing with Tony Scott. Is there anything else you wanted to highlight around the application of category management, or is that?
Yeah, no, okay. IT is a big area for us. President Obama has really focused a lot of energy and initiative around improving how we buy and IT. And in part, he has talked very eloquently, most recently at South by Southwest, about how you, again, catalyze, convene the private sector to help us think about how to make government work better. And we all recognize that improving technology means improving, in part, how we buy that technology. And so while we're launching category management across government, we've really focused in on the IT space to begin to do a really deep dive. And so in addition to the three policies that are being implemented or have been implemented around the $10 billion in PCs and mobile devices and software that we spend every year, we're also focused on a number of initiatives that came out of the FITARA legislation, federal IT acquisition reform legislation recently. And one of the things it calls for is creating government-wide software solutions. So rather than every agency doing it independently, we set a goal to put in place two new government-wide software agreements at the end of 2015. And two more at the end of 2016. And we hit our goal for 2015, and we're on track to hit our goal for the end of 2016.
How is the federal government driving innovation and acquisition? We will ask Anne Rung, Administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy within OMB, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.